I mentioned last week going with Millicent and her colleagues on the middle school mission trip. Another quick piece of that experience is teaching a young boy how to saw, how to use a pruning saw. And he was working on a branch about an inch and a half in diameter. And I set him there on the tailgate of my truck. He's a left-hander, so we went over to the left-hand side of the tailgate and got him going, making a draw stroke, and he's trying to get the cut established. And he turns to me and he says, "This takes a long time, doesn't it?" And I said, "Well, you've been at it for about 20 seconds. You know, I really don't think it's that long a time." Then there's a long time. Got a phone call last Sunday afternoon from a friend deep in my life, lives far away. "Rex, I hope you have a minute. I'm sitting here in my bedroom. I've been in the room all day. The lights are out. Just felt like I needed to talk to somebody." And he went on to describe a pretty generic experience of depression. Four parts of us are our physical bodies. We get signals about how we're feeling from our tissue, from our muscles and our bones, our nerves. We have an emotional state, moods get affected, impacted, things that happen. Just what we're doing, however we happen to be behaving, feed signals into that mix. And then what we're thinking, our thoughts about it all, what the stories we're telling ourselves, the message that's rolling over and over. And most of the time, one of the four of those sort of breaks the circuit. So you injure your ankle, so your ankle's sending you pain, so that you're no longer working out regularly, your behavior has changed, and that begins to affect your mood. But some thought will creep in and say, my ankle's gonna heal, or it's getting better. But sometimes it happens that all the dominoes fall, and none of those four voices sends us an encouraging word. None of those four voices tells us, "This won't last. This is not so bad. We can get through this." And those four voices get into a kind of harmony that sinks us. "How long," I said to my friend last week. "Since Easter," he said. "How long? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart all day long? It happens. Bouts of depression hit us. They come after us. They get a hold of us. All of us. First thing to recognize in our story this morning is that these kinds of things happen to devout, articulate believers. Who wrote this poem? This poem is clearly written by a devout, articulate child of God. And he or she is depressed. he or she has been captured. All the dominoes have fallen. Number one thing to remember, should this happen to you, is it happens, and it happens to people just like you, and it happens to devout, articulate, faithful people. There are actually many Psalms that express the experience of a devout believer in the midst of this kind of storm. The Psalms are roughly of three types. There are Psalms about home. We sang this morning our hymn, our opening hymn, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. This is home. It's all right. God's in control. Things are going to work out." And there are Psalms like that, just like there are hymns like that. And then there are many Psalms where the poet is homeless. Whoa, what is happening now? Things are so out of joint. And this is one of them. There are a number of them. And then there are Psalms about home again, where someone has been restored. They're rejoicing. They are dancing again, and they tell us so. But homeless Psalms, this is one. And there is a message in it. There is something to do when a depression has gotten a hold of us. And you see it in the four divisions of the psalm. The first is to go ahead and complain. Complain to God. Just make it clear that you feel like God has fallen down on the job. And complain in an articulate and rhetorically powerful fashion. It isn't just, "I feel bad." Those first two verses, there's four how longs, and there's a poetic building to them and a power to them. How long? How long? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart all day long? The first thing the poet does is complain in as sharp and powerful and meaningful and articulate a way as you can. God, you are falling down on the job here. And then, command. In that second chunk of the poem, of the prayer, the poet just begins to make demands. Consider me, answer me, give me light. It is a change in spirit. It's a lovely change in spirit. None of this is a magic bullet, and none of this is instantaneous, but there is a sense that when our complaint has been full, when we've really poured it out there in as sharp and powerful and full a way as we can, then there's a little spark of irritation, of anger, that begins to give God direction. I thought of it when we sang it this morning, our hymn of preparation. This is the command stage. Precious Lord, take my hand. The poet is giving a command. Come on. Take my hand. Lead me on. It is a different stage, and it signals a spark of intensity and courage and strength and a movement beyond just being a victim of this thing. I have my rights. You have your obligations. That's lovely. The metaphors can go all over. Our hymn of preparation goes to something physical. Precious Lord, take my hand. Touch me. Lead me. The poet in Psalm 13 says, "Give light to my eyes. Give me a thought here. Give me a different perspective on this. Help me see this differently." Because when we're in that depression, our thoughts just go around in a circle. And they all keep leading back to hopelessness. And the poet says, "Come on, give me a new thought. Give me a new perspective on this. Give light to my eyes, or else I'm just going to sink in this thing. I'll sleep the sleep of death. I won't get up." Complain, command, and then consider that verse 5, it represents a lovely pause. Now something new is going on inside the mind of the prayer. Wait a second, I trusted in God's steadfast love. There's a memory of an experience in the past. I trusted God's steadfast love. And I will rejoice. And the tyranny of the present, that's what happens when we get down in those depressions. We imagine that things have always been this way and they're always going to be this way. And the tyranny of the present gets a hold of us. And you can see in that verse 5, the poet has prayed for new insight and then paused and considered for a moment, and a new insight has begun to bubble up. Hey, it hasn't always been this way. It was different before. It will be different in the future. And the tyranny of the present is broken up for just a moment. And the prayer, and this is an important and powerful piece, is looking forward to the new normal. When these things come upon us, the first thing we think is, "Oh, I just want to get out of this. I just want to get back. I want to get out, get back to before this got a hold of me." And as we consider, we've made our complaint, we've made our command, it comes to us, "Oh, I'm actually going to grow through this. I'm going to go through it and grow through it. And I'm not just going to go back and be the same person I was before this got a hold of me. I'm going to be a different person. It's going to shape me in some fashion." Complain, command, consider. And then that last verse, and this is the one that captured me at first, and I kept thinking, what's happening here? And the speaking, the voice, changes from address to God to address to a peer. And there's a message there. When this has gotten a hold of us, it is invaluable to consult with someone. Let someone overhear your prayers. Our best consultants heal with their ears. What that last verse tells us is someone else was listening in to this going on. There was another presence in the life of this poet, this prayer, who was with them and for them. Here's their complaint, here's their command. Sees them begin to consider, and then they turn out and say, "I will sing, because God has dealt bountifully with me." In essence, the prayer, the poet is saying, this too will pass. It is a it's a trite thing to say to someone. And the important thing to notice here is the listener does not say that to the poet. The listener does not lay that on the person whose soul is in distress. The listener just listens. And it bubbles up out of the best parts, a still healthy part of the soul of the prayer. Oh, I will sing. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. But it's invaluable for the listener to be there, for the consultation to take place. It is a good gift of God. It is a way in God's smile that God is answering the prayer. We might say in our distress, okay, if you're not going to listen, I'll just talk to Jim or Sally or Joe. And God smiles, oh, good. I can reach you through them. So, find someone who can heal with their ears and think about, consider being someone who can heal with their ears, who can be present while someone in distress complains and commands and considers. So it happens. It happens. And in the fullness of what God is doing with us, often we can see that it happens for the formation of our soul, the deepening of our lives, the broadening and deepening of our compassion. But when it seizes us, and it just seems like the spontaneous thing we want to do is say, how long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart all day long? How long? The message of the psalm is, good, do it. Complain. As strongly, as articulately, as powerfully as you can. Complain. And command. God, answer me. Take my hand. Give me light. Help me see. And then take a breath and consider. Now that I think about it. And have someone to consult. Someone who's overhearing. Someone who can heal with their ears. It's not magic, and it's not instantaneous. And I'll be back on the phone with my friend today or tomorrow. But it is true, deeply true. I will sing. God has dealt bountifully with me.
In response to the hearing of God's word, let us all stand and recite together a portion of the Confession of 1967. God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of the human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. You may be seated.
In our prayers of petition and intercession this morning, we want to join with fellow citizens of the United States as we are preparing for the great holiday, the celebration of the revolution, the liberation of our country. And in this season, I'm mindful of all these 50th anniversary commemorations of powerful things that happened in the early 60s, the Civil Rights Act, for one, passed in this summer 50 years ago, and to pray for the continued healing and growth and evolution of our country in terms of its sense of unity and common purpose, common sharing in blessing and prosperity. We also want to pray for our colleague Bo Womack, who leads our music at our contemporary service. Bo had an emergency appendectomy yesterday. He got admitted up to Huntington and had the surgery, saw him before and after. I trust, is doing well. We'll talk to him soon. But we want to pray for Bo that healing be swift and quick and full. Let us join in our prayers of petition and intercession. Good and gracious God, giver of every good and perfect gift, giver of this good day and all its warmth and brightness and beauty, we thank you for it. And that with one of our deep and true voices, we can sing, "This is your world." And we are the grateful recipients of its bounty. And as we are in that spirit, we give you thanks, praise you for it. And as we are in that spirit where the light has gone out, we make our prayer. We ask to follow in the footsteps of those who've gone before us. As we see in our poet before us this morning, that we might do those things that mean for restoration and healing. Complain, command, consider, and consult. We join with all those in our country who are looking forward to the holiday and the week ahead. We're mindful that it is easy to forget what's being celebrated. It is easy to take for granted all that we receive and are blessed by. We're thankful for those who keep thinking about it and point out to us, hey, listen, here we're not falling. We're falling short. We're not living up to the fullness of this, and pull us forward. Thank you for those men and women who did it 50 years ago. Thank you for those men and women who continue to challenge us, say to us, listen, this is a beautiful dream. Let's make it real. Grant that that be part of our celebration in the week ahead, along with all the food and the fireworks, that we offer some meditation about how it is that freedom is shared, and thereby deepened, multiplied. We pray for Bo and all who love him, who are tender with him and around him this day. We thank you for the skill of surgeons, the way some of our maladies can be handled, removed. We pray for him a speedy recovery. Return to all that calls him and all the ways he blesses so many communities. and be with all those we know and love, who are tender, who are hopeful, who are anticipating intervention by surgeons, doctors, therapists, that they might be liberated, relieved, renewed. Send them strength, send wisdom in all their decision making. And hear us now, we pray, as we join in the prayer Christ taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we receive our gifts and tithes and offerings this morning, we recall that no one associated with Calvary is in this work for the money, but without our generous giving, we're not in the work at all, and we want to be. Let's be mindful of that as we offer our gifts and tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Loving God, We thank you for the countless blessings that you have poured out upon us. We pray that you bless these gifts. And on this particular Sunday, we also pray that you bless our country and that in all things, we are good and mindful stewards of you, ambassadors for your will. For we pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Remember that God always tends to our souls. Now receive the benediction. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forever. Amen.